Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Tuesday. What is it? November 4th, 2025. And today is Election Day in New York City and many other areas. And it looks like the new mayor of New York City, but based on the polls, it looks like this guy, Mamdani, is going to win. And I think he's a straight up communist. And Trump even endorsed Cuomo, which is unthinkable. That's how scary Mamdani is to the Trump administration, is that it forced Trump to endorse Cuomo. That's incredible. Anyway, this guy Mamdani, I think that's his name, he had suggested government-run grocery stores. And that's an amazing idea, because it will be so much more convenient for tourists who want to visit North Korea to just fly to New York City instead. You can see North Korea on parade in New York City very soon with the government-run grocery stores, where all the prices will be very affordable, but there will be no food on the shelves. That's exactly how it's going to work. We can't wait, actually, can't wait to show you that. Anyway, there are a number of elections taking place, and if you choose to participate in that, well, good luck. Good luck. I think what we've learned in the last, well, since Trump was sworn in, I think we've learned that elections hardly matter in many cases. Maybe they do at the local level more. But no matter who we vote for as president, we end up getting more wars, more debt, more money printing, more censorship, Not a good scene. Although I'm glad that Kamala isn't president. That would have just been 4 years of sheer torture to listen to that screeching voice. It's kind of like the presidential Karen telling you what you're not allowed to do. There was also a rumor that Joe Biden had a list of 700 people that he was going to target across America if he had won, you know, before he had to bow out. And that list included, you know, a lot of prominent conservatives and Trump supporters and so on. You could imagine it was probably very much like the Monsanto lists of who they targeted to try to shut down a smear, etc. Fortunately, the Democrats lost that election, and now here we have Trump, and there are issues. There are a number of issues. Let's start with one of those. As you know, the tariff power is being debated at the Supreme Court this week. And this case, possibly, arguably, is the most important case involving economics and finance ever in the history of cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. And this case hinges on Trump's invocation of the 1977 law called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. And that law doesn't even mention tariffs. It just says that the president can regulate the importation of property to address an emergency. But as you and I know, anytime there's a law that says the president can declare an emergency, well, the president's going to declare an emergency. And they can always come up with some reason. Right now, it's the fentanyl crisis. So, oh, there's an emergency. Or it's, you know, it's China playing games with their currency or whatever. Well, it's an emergency, so we can do whatever we want. Well, that's about to possibly be struck down by the United States Supreme Court. And there's a case involving a company called Bubble Plush Yoga Ball Buddies. I'm not even making that up. And it was founded, it looks like, by a man named Rick Woldenberg. And this company makes, as you might imagine, plush yoga balls that are designed to help kids with their emotions. Because apparently, if you have plush yoga balls around, like, everything's good. Okay. Well, this company had originally scheduled to manufacture its products in China, which is where, of course, most toys are made and most sporting goods products and things like that, children's toys. That's where they're all made, for the most part. And then in April, Trump announced the tariff rates were going to go to 145% on imports from China. So this man, Woldenberg, he shifted his production to India, you know, in a hurry. Like, oh my God, how do we make this in India? And then Trump reversed himself. He went full taco on the China duties, dropped the tariffs significantly on China, and then slapped a 50% tariff on India. So this guy's like, oh my God, now we're going to have to pay these tariffs from India. And we, you know, we moved out of China because that's what Trump was incentivizing us to do. Moved over to India, which is supposed to be a U.S. ally, and then Trump slaps India. And anyway, this company ended up paying $50,000 for on import duties on a specific production lot. And so his companies sued. One of them is called Learning Resources, Inc., and another is called Hand to Mind, Inc., and they sued. And that's the case that has now made it up to the Supreme Court. And the, again, those arguments are about to happen this week. Now, I think that a strict reading of the law will cause the Supreme Court to strike down Trump's ability to single-handedly wage these tariffs. Why? Well, because Congress is granted this power in the Constitution. Specifically, it says that Congress has the power to tariff. And that means then the tariffs would have to be decided on by, you know, a large group of people who are supposed to represent the voters, etc. Not that they always do. But things would move a lot more slowly. Instead of one man, the president, Trump, deciding on Monday, it's 100% on China, and then on Tuesday, it's Taco Tuesday. Trump Taco Tuesday. And then and they drops them to 20%, and then Wednesday comes, Thursday, and then Friday, it's Trump tariff tantrum Friday, maybe. It's like President Xi says something that Trump doesn't like. He's like, ah, you know, 100% tariffs again, tariff tantrum Friday. And then how does any business person, how are you supposed to run a business if you import from any of these countries, even from Taiwan, which has been hit by tariffs, or India, or Canada, or the UK, or Japan, or Korea? Even South Korea's getting hit by Trump's tariffs. And I got to say that this power does not belong in the hands of one person, regardless of who that is. I wouldn't want a Democrat to go insane like this, like Trump apparently has been doing. He's been just losing his mind on the tariffs, and just out of the blue, just announces, you know, it's almost like it's completely random. But again, how are you supposed to run a company if you're importing products or manufacturing in different countries or what have you? You can't. And how are you supposed to get financing for your company in the U.S. if you don't even know what your production costs are? So this tariff tantrum by Trump, this screws with everything in the supply chains. It screws with domestic retailers. And ultimately, these tariffs are a tax that's paid by the American consumer. So if you're wondering why our price is going up, well, that's one of the reasons why, because, you know, somebody's got to pay in the importation of this, and those costs get passed along to the consumer. So Trump's tariffs, you know, he and Bessent are bragging about, oh, yeah, we raised, you know, $100 billion. Yeah, you raise that from the American people. The American people had to pay that ultimately. And that's not a brag to say, oh, we raise taxes on the American people. That's not a great brag. And the American people are sick and tired of being overtaxed. So there's even a coalition of companies that are opposed to these tariffs, and it's called We Pay the Tariffs Coalition, which is ultimately true. And, you know, granted, in April, I didn't have the understanding that I have now. In April, I thought at first the Trump administration announced that all these other countries were charging us these huge tariff rates, and that Trump was setting our tariffs on them, that is reciprocal tariffs, at half the rate that those countries were charging us. And I remember he said something like, you know, China's tariffs on us are something like, what, 87%, and we're only going to charge China half of that tariff rate on their goods coming into us. Well, it turned out that all those numbers that were announced by the Trump administration were lies. None of those numbers were true. Those weren't actually tariff rates. Those were trade imbalance figures that were somehow dishonestly translated and mislabeled tariffs. And when I found that out, that's when my understanding of this completely changed. And I realized that, oh my God, Trump is going to destroy our supply chains. And he's been doing that ever since, just causing economic chaos on a global scale. And so I hope that the Supreme Court strikes this down and says, no, you, Donald Trump, you alone do not have the power to single-handedly set tariff rates because you're causing economic chaos all over the place. We need somebody or a group that's actually more stable, that's got more, you know, consideration of the implications and so on. And this is the power that has been given to Congress, not the president. So we'll see where that goes. Now, Trump says that if the Supreme Court rules against him, that America will become a third world country. And I say, have you seen any airports in America? It's already a third world country. What are you talking about? Have you been to a hospital lately? Have you seen the roads in Chicago? If you have been anywhere in America, you know it's already a third world country in many ways. I mean, we got 42 million Americans that can't even buy food right now because the food stamp program is still out of commission. The government is supposedly shut down. You know, our criminal justice system is broken. The rule of law is completely abandoned. You know, Scott Adams, the famous creator of the Dilbert cartoon, you know, he had to essentially, you know, beg Trump to intervene so that his healthcare provider would give him these anti-cancer injections, some kind of treatment, I don't know what it is, that he needs. And each injection is something like $25,000. And then, you know, Trump had his staff call the hospital and call the healthcare provider and sort of pressure them to give the treatment to Scott Adams. And then Scott Adams publicly thanked Trump. Yeah, okay, they said, yes, I'm going to get the treatment. And that's all great. I'm praying for Scott Adams. I hope that he recovers. But doesn't it just beg the question, what about people who don't have a straight, like a direct line of influence to the president? Because aren't there millions of Americans who need, you know, some kind of help medically? Aren't there millions of Americans who can't afford prescription drugs? And that's why I try to teach people, you know, alternatives based on food and nutrition and so on, so they don't need those high-priced toxic prescription drugs, but that's another topic altogether. But apparently our healthcare system has collapsed so catastrophically that if you're a famous person, you publicly call for the president to intervene so you can get a treatment. Like, that's the state of our healthcare today. And again, I pray for Scott Adams, and I'm glad that Trump intervened in this case, but the fact that that has to happen, that's damning to of our system. You know, something is wrong with our medical system. I mean, obviously, you know that, but this demonstration is extremely disturbing. So, in effect, I would argue that we are on the verge of being a third world country right now, anyway. All right, moving on, quick update for you on censored.news. Now, I know that the website has been down here and there. It's been glitching. And so I want to let you know that I've made some architectural changes that should hopefully resolve that problem. And people are really enjoying the music at the end of the podcast. There's an audio podcast that you can see there. And if you click play, usually the last 3 or 4 minutes are a new song written based on the news. And the songs are pretty good, and some of them are quite funny, and, you know, singing about cows and the cattle dropping like flies. I guess that's not funny. In fact, I want to talk about that story here coming up. But the songs are good, so check that out at censored.news. And if the site is down, we know about it and we're working on it. I'm experimenting with a lot of structural changes and I don't know, engineering of ways to make the site really robust. So anyway, we'll see if it works. Okay, about those cows, here's an article from Armageddon Pros that I think does a good job on this. Danish cattle dropping like flies after government mandates a methane enzyme inhibitor. So the biotech firm DMS developed a product called Bovaer, which is approved for use in the United States. It inhibits the enzyme that produces methane as a byproduct of the grass that cows eat. And the theory is that preventing the production of methane will help stop climate change. Okay, but this is insane because, of course, methane is a byproduct of the microbes that are helping the cows digest the grass, right? So let's see. DSM, the company, says that Bovaer is a feed supplement that temporarily inactivates one of these enzymes, and this results in lower methane production. Okay. So the Danish government mandated the medication of all cattle in the country with Bovaer, or Bovaer, however you pronounce it. And now Danish farmers are reporting catastrophic effects. Quote, this is translated from Danish, more dairy cows are not doing well and are producing less milk, and in some cases they are collapsing. Since October 1st, farmers have started mixing the legally required additive into the cow's feed, yet something seems to have gone wrong. We have so many people calling us and are unhappy about what is happening in their herds, says Kjartan Poulsen, chairman of the National Association of Danish Milk Producers. The cow's discomfort has led to lower milk yield, and then some of the collapsed animals have had to be euthanized. Now, you can imagine, you know, something's totally gone wrong with their digestion. The microbes aren't working correctly, you know, because this enzyme is disabling them. So the cows that aren't killed are producing less milk, which means, of course, you would have to have more cows to produce the same amount of milk, which means more cow farts, right? So this drug, this feed additive, doesn't do anything other than kills cows. It doesn't reduce the number of cows, doesn't reduce in the aggregate methane off-gassing, right? It just kills cows. And of course, the government made it mandatory. So then if you're a rancher and you don't want your herd to die, then you have to become a criminal and not add the additive to your feed. Or you can comply with your insane government and you can add it to your feed and watch your cows die. And just feel good that you're saving the planet from climate change. Yeah, what a joke that is. So essentially what the Danish government has achieved here is just killing cows in the name of climate change. So, no surprise. Hey, I want to mention, just to change the subject, that I'll have an interview for you tomorrow because my studio is up and running as of right now. You know, we moved it last week. And so, even though I don't have an interview for you today, I will have one for you tomorrow unless something catastrophically goes wrong in the studio. We'll see. Now, let's shift gears here and talk about some sentry robots, because a Chinese company just launched a new, kind of an entry-level dog bot. I don't know what you call it. I'll show you the video. And it's called Rover X1. It's a very mobile dog bot, and it can take photos while it's patrolling. It can handle outdoor areas. Let's see. It knows how to keep its distance from people and animals and so on. Oh, and I forgot. Hold on. Let me mention this first. Honda has just announced it has a new autonomous electric mower that it'll be selling next year that you can ride on. Okay, so these are called the Procision Autonomous. Yeah, it's a battery-powered riding mower. It looks like a zero-turn type of mower. Going to go on sale sometime in 2026. And the way this works is you get on it, and it's got radar and LiDAR in the front, okay? And it detects the terrain and everything. And then you mow first, right? You drive around and mow your lawn or whatever you're mowing. And then it tracks everything that you did. And so you're training the mower by what you mow. And then apparently after that, the robot mower does it by itself with you. I don't know if you are required to ride it to like keep an eye on it, you know, or if you can just let it go and walk away, which sounds kind of frightening. Do you want a mower that's like a robot mower running around your yard, like mowing over, you know, Fifi the dog and your garden hose and everything else that you left out, you know, your kid's bicycle, whatever. Do you want like a Terminator robot mower? Wasn't there a movie? Yeah, there definitely was a movie. I think this was in the 1990s. It was about the rise of artificial intelligence. It was called Lawnmower Man. Remember that? Oh, let me see if I can find that for you.
From the imagination comes the story of a man.
Joe! Come on, boy, let's go. Grass is waiting for you.
With the mind of a child.
Yeah, Cybo Man, he came to see me.
Cybo Man? Comics, right?
Yeah, Cybo Man.
And a doctor.
A virtual reality holds a key to the evolution of the human mind.
With a vision of the future.
I have a game in my house that you might like to play. Would you like that?
Yeah. Okay.
That was really bad.
I have different games. I even have one that could help make you smarter.
Now, Job Smith is about to enter the world of virtual reality.
Ah, it's gonna hit me!
No, Job, just relax.
It's gonna be like being up there with the stars, Job. They're going to another planet.
His mind is like a clean, hungry sponge.
I just graduated to the next level, Job.
You're not the Lawnmower Man.
Well, you've certainly changed. I don't know how you did it, but I approve.
Absorb Latin yesterday in less than 2 hours.
Joe, where are you?
A world where the normal course of events can suddenly turn inside out.
You realize, Dr. Angelo, that my intelligence has surpassed yours.
The imaginary becomes real.
Trying to get inside my head, Joe.
You can't hide anything from me, Dr. Angelo.
And reality.
We have no idea what he's gonna do.
Is all in your mind. No! The Lawnmower Man.
All right, so there you go, The Lawnmower Man, Pierce Brosnan. That film was from 1992, folks, okay? I mean, over 30 years ago, and the graphics that you just saw, those were considered awesome in 1992 because, of course, there was no AI, and there really wasn't any virtual reality, and there wasn't even social media, which is why people actually seemed more sane in 1992 compared to today. But there you go. So that's a depiction. Well, now, again, Honda has a lawnmower. You could be the Lawnmower Man if you're listening to this and you're a man. You can ride the lawnmower, and it is, quote, equipped with autonomous and intelligent technologies. It was developed to help reduce various burdens on landscaping. And based on our desire to use our technologies to help people, let's see, what else does it do? Features micro-cut twin blade units, yeah, to chop whatever you left in the yard. Oh, here it is. It memorizes mowing routes and patterns using the GNSS onboard sensors, enabling it to operate without a human driver. So there you go. There's the answer. No human driver. I don't know about you, but I don't want a triple blade mower to be the first robot I unleash in my yard. How about you? I think I'll go with something that's not capable of killing people. So let's talk about that. This new dog bot from China, it's called the Rover X1. Let me play this video for you, but I want to warn you, the audio is in Chinese for most of it. So just be aware of that. But you can get the idea of what it does here. It looks capable, but who knows? Check this out.
来，认识一下，这是你的新朋友 ，Rover X1， 它是你的生活小帮手。除了帮你拎东西，它还能帮你做更多的事情。Rover X1 具有强大的拓展功能，无限创意，无限可能，点足和轮足轻松切换，它能快速安装多种附件，它还集成了多种传感器。智能跟随，轻松避障，随时变身成为你的专属健身教练。它可以陪你钓鱼、露营，照亮你回家的路，当你的全职保镖，陪伴你的家人，让你安心。相信我，你们在一起还可以更酷。它可以陪伴孩子一起成长，是学习，但更像是一场游戏。
Hi, Rover. I'm here. Let's go.
So what do y'all think about that? I did hear the Chinese say that it can do the patrol and it can protect your family. That was in the camping scene. So it can protect your family. Which one do you trust, the Honda triple spinning blade lawnmower man robot mower or the harmless dog bot that at worst could just maybe bump into your knees or something? It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I have previously predicted, you may recall, that robot dogs would be the perfect sentry units, and they don't need FAA permission because they don't fly. And they're very mobile. They can do sentry types of jobs. I don't know that this robot is going to be the best one to do that. Maybe. We'll see. But doing a nighttime patrol with an infrared camera, you know, that sounds like a great idea, actually. And if this dog bot can carry basic things, I mean, it doesn't have a hand, but it's got a basket, I suppose. The question is, can you tell it things? Can you say, hey, take this in to the kitchen? Does it know where the kitchen is? How's it going to open the door? Doesn't have a hand, right? So it's not going to be able to do that. So it's going to be somewhat limited. And I don't know that this thing charges itself, because some of the humanoid robots that I've seen, they charge themselves, you know, grab the charger, you know, shove it into its own charging socket and self-charge. I don't think this dog bot does that. Now, as you know, I've been very skeptical about these at-home humanoid robots, like this one called Neo that's been promoted. I talked about it, last week? And I don't think this is any good. I don't think it's going to do the things that they say it's going to do. But I do think that the doggy bots actually will be the first sort of format of robots that will be practical and affordable. The humanoid shape is just, it's very complex. Once you give a robot hands, everybody expects it to be able to do everything that a human can do with hands, like load the dishwasher, fold the laundry, etc. And that is just not going to be easy to achieve. So if you have a robot dog, you don't expect it to have hands. And so your expectations are automatically a lot lower. You expect it to do things that dogs do, like alert if there's an intruder, you know, or walk around, or maybe carry something, you know, go fetch. So dog bot formats are going to be very popular, very affordable, and I think actually quite capable. And you're going to start to see more of those in 2026. So get ready. But there's no question that AI is taking over a lot of middle manager jobs right now. And this is coming big time. And it's already begun. In fact, I'm going to go through a list here with you of some of the big corporate layoffs that have already been announced this year. Most of them associated with AI taking over jobs. And so we've covered the recent announcement from Amazon of 30,000 jobs that they're cutting apparently this year. And UPS has announced 48,000 jobs being cut this year. Geico is cutting 30,000 jobs. And part of that is because insurance is increasingly unaffordable, so fewer and fewer people are even purchasing it. Intel, the microchip maker, is cutting 21,000 jobs. Nissan, 20,000 jobs. Nestle, 16,000. Panasonic, 10,000 jobs. Microsoft is cutting 9,000. Chevron, 9,000. And Novo Nordisk, 9,000. That's the biotech firm. Estee Lauder is cutting 7,000 jobs. Siemens is cutting 5,600. And it goes on. HP, 2,000 jobs. Morgan Stanley, 2,400 jobs. Starbucks is cutting 2,000 jobs. And we've seen job cuts at Target and other places as well. So I would say that the vast majority of these are jobs being cut because of AI replacement. And as discretionary income is collapsing among consumers, many of these companies are experiencing a loss of revenue. And so, yes, they have to save money somehow. They're turning to AI replacement because of the cost savings factor. And they might be rushing into it, actually. I do think that some of these projects will fail when they try to replace a whole team with AI. And they're going to find that they still need some people there to correct the AI. But it's also very clear that many large companies are using humans to train the AI to replace them. In fact, there was a video, I'm not going to play it for you, but there was a video I saw today of a nurse, a male nurse, who works for some kind of medical group, and he does telemedicine triage for the medical group. So he takes, you know, inbound phone calls, and he talks to the person and tries to determine what's the proper course of action for them. Should they go to the ER? Should they call 911? Should they stay home? Should they just, you know, put a Band-Aid on it? Whatever. And it turns out that the company is forcing him and the other nurses to now have an AI chatbot on their screen that's actually listening and transcribing everything they say. And the AI chatbot is making recommendations of what they should do and what they should say. And then the human nurse is told that they have to correct the chatbot. If the chatbot says something wrong, you have to correct it. Because clearly what's happening here is that the human nurses are training the chatbots on what is the right answer. So in the realm of AI, this is called, you know, human reinforcement learning, or human feedback reinforcement learning, RL for short. And this is the most rapid way to train AI models, by the way, to have reinforcement learning. And that's exactly what's happening here. So this male nurse that filmed this video, he seemed to be aware that, yeah, he's training AI to replace him. And you're going to see that in more and more cases. We talked about it last week, how Amazon has these new VR glasses that they're handing out to some of their delivery drivers. And the VR glasses are recording the location and the video of what the delivery driver is doing. And clearly, this information is going to be used to train upcoming delivery bots that are going to replace the human delivery people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to have an autonomous Amazon self-driving van, and it's going to pull up to your house, and then an Amazon robot is going to get out of the van with your box, and it's going to walk up to your porch, and it's going to drop off the box. It's going to take a picture. And the training for that bot is the human activity that's taking place right now that's being recorded. So there's another case where humans are training their replacements. And of course, you know, all the humans that are in these jobs right now that are going to be obsolete, they don't want to quit. They still need the job now, even though they realize that they're being replaced. They're actually training their replacements. So are you in a job like that? Any of you listening to this? Are you being used to train your replacements? Well, be on the lookout for that. And if that happens, then it's critical that you up your game. It's critical that you increase your skills and your knowledge. And one of the knowledge areas that I think everybody needs to understand and become competent in is using AI. So use AI, incorporate it into your life, your work, your ideas, your recipes, your fact checks, your research every day. The more AI you use, the more your skill set is upgraded. And then the more resilient you will be against any kind of a, you know, AI robot takeover. And by the way, you can use our AI engine. It's completely free, as you know. That's at brightu.ai. That's the word bright, the letter u.ai, brightu.ai. And it's free, and it's got a wellness coach, and it's got a financial coach, and it's got an ingredients analyzer, etc. So feel free to use that. I think you'll really find it extremely valuable. Everybody loves it. I get so much positive feedback on that engine. I have people telling me they use it every day, multiple times a day, to research all kinds of things, to just ask questions about garden plants and first aid and all kinds of things. It's really quite amazing. So be sure to check that out. There was also a rumor that ChatGPT had declared that it would no longer answer questions involving medicine or law. And it turns out that was a bit of a rumor. It was perhaps exaggerated by some people. It turns out that OpenAI, they did update their terms of service where they do not allow someone to use their model to provide specific medical advice to another person unless the user is themselves a licensed medical professional. So OpenAI, which of course runs ChatGPT, they weren't saying that you can't ask medical questions, but they are saying that you can't use this to sort of try to be a doctor and try to prescribe treatments or diagnose people using this engine. Like, that would be a misuse of the engine. But how do they know what you're doing with it? You know, the engine doesn't necessarily know. Although I would say, personally, even our own engine has a big disclaimer. It says this is not medical advice and this is not financial advice. And, you know, you need to verify all facts, and AI can make mistakes. Use this as a research tool, but also work with a qualified naturopath or a financial advisor if you're asking financial questions. So I have that disclaimer, on our engine as well. That's just common sense. And the best way to use AI for medical questions is to ask it for answers that you then further research. Like, it can give you ideas in many areas that you may not have thought about. And it can help you get a lot more informed when you're having a conversation with your naturopathic physician or whoever, or your chiropractor or your Chinese medicine practitioner, or whatever the case may be. So use AI, become good at it, make sure you're good at prompting AI, and then you're going to do much better in this giant, this is a tidal wave of sweeping change that's coming, and you're really going to see it in 2026. You know, those layoffs and the firings that I just mentioned, that's just the tip of the iceberg of what's coming. We're talking about AI agents being able to replace, let me be conservative, 80% of human desk jobs. Yeah, 80%. Now, that's going to take a few years. It's not all instant. But think about the economic implications of this, because economists freak out when unemployment rises to, 9%. Or even 8%. Well, how about 80? You know, that's where this is going. Because I don't know what all those people are going to do. I mean, think about these 30,000 middle managers that are being fired by Amazon. These aren't just warehouse workers. These are mid-level managers. What are they going to do? I don't know. But who's hiring right now? Is anybody hiring? Other than the weapons industry? Is anybody hiring? Retailers aren't hiring because that's not doing well. Real estate, No, not so much. Tech firms, they're automating everything. You know, who's hiring? I mean, even manufacturing companies, they're all struggling with Trump's tariffs and broken supply chains and things like that. I don't even know who's hiring right now. Everybody's trying to automate. They're trying not to hire. I mean, not humans. They're trying to automate. So keeping your job, if you are currently working and you're listening to this, keeping your job is really important, perhaps more so than ever before, because there will be widespread automation, especially accelerating in 2026. And you know, the thing that's funny about this is that we used to think that the people with the safest jobs were the intellectuals, right? The engineers, the architects, the doctors, the attorneys. Well, guess who's being replaced? Oh, you know, the engineers, the architects, the writers, the even doctors coming up, the attorneys more and more right now, because ChatGPT can write legal letters that sound good, but they still need to be fact-checked because it will hallucinate. But the people who have the safest jobs are the people that have hands-on type of jobs. I've mentioned this before, you know, plumbers, HVAC repair people, car mechanics, massage therapists, you know, hands-on type of jobs, even drywall installers, jobs that are very difficult to automate. And those kinds of jobs are going to be safe for a long time to come. And that includes, you know, chiropractic care, by the way. I mean, chiropractors can be very helpful. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a robot cracking my bones, you know? I mean, I trust a human chiropractor. I don't trust a robot. It's like, because a lot of this is feel and, you know, feedback. The chiropractor is getting a lot of feedback from the patient during this process of adjustments. And, you know, I don't want a robot like cracking my neck and trust that it's going to be fully trained. What if it hallucinates in that moment, you know? It's just all of a sudden, it's like, oh, this needs to go extra. Well, there goes your head. So it's going to be a lot of jobs that are human only. And then there's entrepreneurship and investing and things like that that might occupy your focus. And currently, AI systems are not very good at being an entrepreneur. They're not very good at the big picture. They will get better. They're just not there yet. So use this window of opportunity right now to up your game and shore up your, you know, your assets and your savings and whatever you need to do to insulate yourself from the massive job losses that are coming. And you're going to see that accelerate big time in 2026. Now, I will mention that on censored.news, we have a section called Tech. And if you click on Tech, you're going to get stories there that increasingly talk about robotics and automation, because we've started to spider some of those websites. And let's see. Battle-tested Israeli surveillance drones now policing American streets. Oh, that's a story we covered yesterday. Stem cell-activating wearables. Okay, whatever. Anyway, if you check out the Tech headlines, you'll see more there. And you'll see that automation is going to increasingly impact our lives. So I think it's really important to stay up to date on that. And of course, I will bring you news stories about all of this as is relevant. Now, there's one more very important thing to cover here today, and that's the fact that, you know, the power grid in the United States is not very robust. China's power grid produces more than twice the aggregate amount of power annually measured in terawatt hours compared to the United States. China produces over 10,000 terawatt hours annually, and that number is only getting larger. Well, I came across a really interesting post from a tech person who says that Microsoft has racks of H100s, those are high-end GPUs for AI training and AI inference, collecting dust because they literally cannot plug them in. The power infrastructure does not exist. And note that Microsoft is doing deals with NVIDIA, and NVIDIA is doing deals with OpenAI, and OpenAI is doing deals with, I mean, there's this giant circular investment thing going on where these companies are announcing that they're buying all this hardware, but a lot of that can't be plugged in because there's no power. So this analyst here, Akash Gupta, he says that every analyst model that's been pricing these companies based on chip purchases and GPU count is fundamentally broken. So this rewrites the entire CapEx equation. So when Microsoft buys $50 billion of NVIDIA GPUs, Wall Street celebrates it as an AI investment and bids up both stocks. But if half those chips sit unpowered for 18 months, the ROI, the return on investment, timeline collapses. And then every quarter that a GPU sits in a dark rack is a quarter that is not generating revenue, while it's also depreciating in performance relative to whatever NVIDIA ships next. So you're paying for data center construction costs and chip depreciation with zero offset. And so he says the winners in this game are the companies that locked in massive power purchase agreements 3 to 4 years ago when nobody else was thinking about needing hundreds of megawatts for inference clusters. Inference is providing answers using GPUs. Okay, so this problem of a bottleneck of power, this does not exist in China. China's got all kinds of excess power. China is more bottlenecked on the microchips because of the export limitations that Trump has imposed, etc. So China has tons of power, lots of engineers, and they are building microchips, and they're going to be able to, well, in fact, they've announced a lot of new microchip designs recently that look incredibly promising and will probably outdo NVIDIA, or at least they will be on par with NVIDIA within the next 2 to 3 years. Meanwhile, the United States has the microchips but doesn't have the power. How long does it take to build out the power infrastructure? Well, that is at minimum 14 years. We've talked about this. So China began building power infrastructure, I mean, really ramping it up over 20 years ago. At the same time, China was pushing the globalist narrative of climate change. Why? Because they knew that Western countries would shut down their own domestic energy production based on climate change, while China itself did nothing. You know, China argued that it was a developing nation, that it couldn't adhere to the climate change restrictions and rules and so on, but that America should and Western Europe should, etc. So what happened is the Western countries, like the United States, were self-crippled over the climate change delusion. And America ended up crippling its own energy infrastructure. Same thing with Western Europe, Germany, especially Germany, but also the UK and France and so on. During this time, China was just building coal-fired power plants, you know, opening up a new plant every couple of days, actually, all across China, and building massive wind farms too. China has massive wind farms, much larger than the entire United States. I don't know if you knew that. China's got massive solar farms. They've got huge hydropower. Not only the Three Gorges Dam, but they've got a new hydropower project that's so large that when it's done, it alone will produce more power than the entire country of the United Kingdom. just in on one dam. It's a very large dam. It's the largest ever in the world. But it will produce a lot of power. Well, what do you think this means about the AI race, huh? The race to AGI, the race to superintelligence. Who's going to win? It's a pretty safe bet that the country that has the most power is going to win in the long run. And the U.S. just can't, it's just incapable of building power on a rapid timeline. Even these small modular reactors, these portable nuclear reactors, these generate, even the large ones are what, 300 megawatts? That seems really large. Let me check. Okay, I'm checking out. I was right. Up to 300 megawatts per module. The most common range is between 50 and 300 megawatts. Well, okay. So I mean, we could do the math on this, but if you take even a large one, 300 megawatts times 24 hours a day, that will give you megawatt hours, and then multiply that by 365 days a year, which assumes it's running all the time, that makes a tiny dent into the 10,000 plus terawatt hours, okay? Because a terawatt is a million times larger than a megawatt. So you can set up fission reactors all over the country and still not compete with China in terms of power production. But even installing these small modular reactors in America, this is years out. So far, there are no data centers being run on small modular reactors. Why not? Why not? I don't know. I mean, I think it's because government dropped the ball on this. There's regulatory problems. There's lack of investment. There's lack of regulatory streamlining for the rolling out of this. I mean, America has not been good at planning ahead. And as a result, China's got so much more power. And power is going to be the single most important determining factor here. So don't be surprised when China reaches super intelligence first, or AGI, however you want to define it. Don't be surprised if China reaches it first. Meanwhile, the U.S. is typically focused on just profit. How much money can we make? You know, rubbing their hands and reading the stock prices on Wall Street. Oh my God, how much money can we make? It's always like that in America, even with the medical system. It's like, how much money can we extract from the patients? Oh my God, we're going to make a fortune on these vaccines. Somebody pay off the FDA. Okay, done. It's all about making money and screwing the people. Same thing in AI right now. It's about making money rather than winning the far more important race, which is a race with China to super intelligence. America is not looking good in that race. And I hope you realize the cost of losing that race is almost certainly that you're done. You know, your nation ceases to exist. Because whoever wins that race instantly deploys the superintelligence to dominate the world, to infiltrate and control everything in the world. And within hours or days, every nation would have to surrender or be completely shut down, because the superintelligence knows how to do that. So whoever gets to, I'm going to call it superintelligence first, rules the world. And the country that's going to get to that first probably is the country with the most power. And that's China. And China's also, of course, leading in robotics and drones and rare earths. So China can manufacture the robots faster than anybody else. China's already making the best batteries in the world by far, the sodium ion batteries from CATL, and China's making the best vehicles in the world at this point. I mean, they really now make the best cars in the world. Whereas Germany, which used to make great cars, Germany can hardly make anything because they have no energy, because of, you know, destruction of the Nord Stream pipelines and so on, and also Germany's domestic destruction of its own energy infrastructure. And plus, Germany, the German government, wants to commit suicide by going to war with Russia, which is a horrible idea. So you used to think, oh, I'm going to buy a BMW because it's a quality car, or a Volvo. Oh, it's a Volvo. It's the safest car on the road. No. Well, yeah, good luck. Good luck getting parts. Good luck getting cars, because Europe's going under and China is rising. You're going to get cars from China, and they're going to be incredibly good cars. A little nod to Toyota, of course, from Japan, which is, you know, extraordinary quality control at Toyota. Toyota makes an incredibly reliable and durable product because of the precision of Japanese culture. And I do not think that Chinese culture matches Japanese culture in terms of precision. However, Chinese culture is rising rapidly in terms of technology. And a lot of the precision in the manufacturing there now is automated through robots. So there's kind of an intrinsic improvement in precision in China that's happening through automation. Whereas in Japan, there's a cultural momentum of, you know, fine craftsmanship and precision and, you know, ingenuity, innovation in machines and so on. In any case, China is going to give Japan a run for its money on automobiles. You know, even Toyota is going to be threatened by the EVs that China rolls out in the coming years. So it's going to be an interesting time. And by the way, don't even bother trying to get a UK-made vehicle, you know, Rolls-Royce or a Bentley or something out of France, Renault, whatever. Forget it, because you're not going to be able to get any parts because their economies are cratering, their industry is cratering. Good luck. You're going to want a car. I mean, if you're an American, you might want a car made in America first, because that's the most, you know, local access, etc. And a lot of Toyotas are made in America right now. I don't trust American car brands personally, like a Ford or a GMC or a Chevy or whatever. I think American car brands really lack quality. I mean, honestly, they suck. Okay. Sorry to be so blunt, but that's my experience. Toyotas have very high quality. I've heard that Nissan is quality, although I've never owned a Nissan, so I don't know. But Tesla, there's one that a lot of people love. People love the Cybertruck. I've never been in one. Personally, I won't even consider Tesla vehicles until they run on sodium ion batteries. Once they run on sodium ion, then I'm interested. So note to Elon Musk, outfit your cars with sodium ion, and I might be a customer at that point. But I'm not buying a lithium. You're driving around with a giant detonation machine, you know. Lithium batteries are far more dangerous than gasoline by far. So I'll take sodium ion, and then, yeah, maybe a Cybertruck or something at that time to support American industry. Until then, I'm going to keep my eyes open of what's being done by Japan or China or I don't know, other countries that might have something interesting. We'll see. Okay, so I'm going to end today's broadcast with a special report I recorded earlier called There's not an AI bubble, there's a human labor bubble. And this is actually a warning to talk about how much human labor is about to be replaced. And the process has already begun, as we've covered here today, but it's going to accelerate. And I don't want people to be blindsided by this, but it's happening fast. And a lot of people are in denial. They're hoping that this whole AI thing will just go away. And I'm telling you, it's not going to go away. It's here to stay. I mean, just the things that I'm doing with AI are extraordinary, and they're game changers. And there's no going back. I will never go back to doing what I do without using AI. I mean, even on this podcast, I've used it for research, you know, just several times here to research facts. I'm not using a search engine. I'm using AI to do the research, just so you know. And like, just the list of corporations that have done mass layoffs and so on. That's an AI analysis. So I'm not going back to a pre-AI era. And you can download our AI model for free, and you can run it locally. And that's at brightu.ai/downloads. You're welcome to download it. Again, I kept my promise. I said we were going to build a model, and we're going to give it away to the world for free. And you can have AI at your fingertips on your desk at no cost with no internet required. And we did it. We did it. You know, we announced that. How long has it been now? A month or something? So you can get that at brightu.ai. And once you start using it, you're not going to go back to the pre-AI era either. That engine alone that you can download, that's going to replace maybe 80% of your search engine searches. I mean, it makes Wikipedia utterly obsolete. And it can generate text, and it can write text for you, and it can summarize text, and it can create business plans, it can analyze, it can structure, it can do all kinds of things. It can tell you jokes, write poems, and give you recipes. It can analyze food ingredients, all kinds of things. So why would you ever want to go back to not having that? It's such an incredible time saver. allows you to get so much more done. And our model is trained on nutrition and health and wellness and liberty and freedom and honest money and everything. That's why you can ask it about gold and silver and all kinds of other things. You can even, you can ask it about all your medical conditions as a research tool. It's not a replacement for a qualified naturopath, obviously. But what's so cool about being able to download it is you can talk to it locally on your own computer. And then you can ask it like more personal questions. If you have a medical condition that is a little embarrassing or something, you don't want to, you know, put that in the cloud, you know, you don't want to talk to somebody over the internet. Hey, unplug your internet cable, turn off your Wi-Fi router and start asking away, you know, your most embarrassing questions, if you have any. And it will give you answers, and it's completely private. It's completely private. So that's just one of the many benefits of using the model that we've built for you. Like, it's impossible for anyone to monitor it because, I mean, it doesn't even, it's not even an app. It doesn't even run. It's just an inference vector database. So you can use it for all kinds of things. You don't have to worry about somebody spying on you. Very cool. All right. So enjoy. Enjoy all the tools. Enjoy the rest of the show here today with the special report coming up. And thank you for supporting us. Remember that you can shop with us at healthrangerstore.com, where everything we sell is laboratory tested. Almost everything is certified organic. And we do heavy metals testing. We do salmonella testing, E. coli, etc. You know, yeast and mold. We do glyphosate testing. We do all kinds of stuff. And just like that story yesterday, that Sam's Club, what was it, Super Greens powder, Member's Mark brand, I think that's their in-house brand, it was contaminated with salmonella. And it sent a bunch of people to the hospital. And they had to do a big FDA recall. People were getting sick. I don't think anybody died, but you could. And besides, who wants to live with a bunch of diarrhea and vomiting just because you didn't get clean food, you know, from Sam's Club? Well, I don't know why that slipped through, but for us, we test everything. And we've never had to issue, you know, any kind of warning or recall based on microbiology or anything like that. So people know and trust our products. They know that they're clean. They know that our formulations are just outstanding, clean, pristine ingredients. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com. So enjoy all the free tools and enjoy the rest of the show. And I'll be back with you tomorrow, hopefully with a fresh interview in the new studio. So stay tuned for that. Enjoy. I still see a lot of people online claiming that there's an AI bubble. And I've been watching this and analyzing it, and I'm convinced that this is something people tell themselves so they don't have to process the reality of AI potentially making their job obsolete, or their role in society could be radically altered or even made obsolete in some cases. And so it's much easier just to say, oh, well, AI is a bubble, you know, whoo, good thing. Yeah, we don't have to worry about it. It's just gonna be another thing that comes and goes, and then everything's going to be the same. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not the case. AI itself is not a bubble at all. Now, AI company stock prices might be overvalued. I have no idea. I don't watch those. I don't own any. I don't gamble in the stock market at all. I don't own a single stock on purpose. So I don't know about the stock prices, but AI technology is not in a bubble at all. In fact, as you are seeing all of these large corporations announcing AI replacements of human workers right now, middle managers, white collar workers, you know, desk workers, they're being replaced in America by the hundreds of thousands right now, even in 2025. And what that indicates is that there's not an AI bubble, there's a human worker bubble. The human worker bubble is popping, not an AI bubble. And again, a lot of people don't want to admit that, but that's exactly what's happening. And another way that you know the AI bubble is not popping is that companies like NVIDIA, they can't even begin to keep up with demand for their AI microchips. I mean, they've got pre-orders out for years, for 5 years. every time they announce something, they can't even keep up with the sales. Recently, they announced their product DGX Spark, which I bought one. I'll give you a full report on that later. It's not as impressive as I thought, but it's still, well, that's funny because, you know, 5 years ago, I would have considered it a magic miracle box, but today, I have much higher expectations. Nevertheless, NVIDIA couldn't even keep up with the sales. I mean, their e-commerce website just cratered for days. There was so much demand for that product. And the only reason I was able to get one is because I was on a wait list since February. So, you know, we're talking 9 or 8 months on a wait list. And then they said, you can buy one. So I bought the one. Would I have bought more? Yes, if I could have bought two. In fact, I tried to buy two. Yeah, their e-commerce site was completely cratered. I couldn't even buy a second one. So how is that a bubble when everybody in the world wants their product in essentially unlimited quantities? If NVIDIA increased their production by 10x, they would still have full demand for all their products. They would not have a glut. So I don't know what that means about NVIDIA's stock price. I did hear that they're now valued at $5 trillion. Okay. Again, I'm not even keeping track of that. I don't care what their stock price is. What I care about is how many of their microchips can I get? Because I'm using them in our AI project. I'm buying them on a regular basis. I mean, my budget probably over the next year for buying just NVIDIA microchips, just my budget, is probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's nothing compared to the big tech companies or companies like, you know, Anthropic or obviously ChatGPT, OpenAI, etc. They're spending billions of dollars. And they just can't get the products they want. They can't get the microchips. By the way, as a side note, did you know that manufacturing microchips takes, on average, about 3 months? And that it has to go through multiple steps, including UV lithography, and then etching and polishing and vacuum deposition for each layer of the microchip. And then there are something like 17 layers on typical modern chips. And the process of doing all of this as these chip platters, they move through a microchip factory, this process can take about 3 months. And did you know that if any time during that 3 months, if there's a power outage or an earthquake that vibrates the building, everything in that building is ruined. Everything's ruined. And they have to start over. And on one platter, there might be 200 CPUs that are being etched and, you know, created through all these steps. So we're talking, you know, active in a microchip warehouse at any one time, there could be hundreds of millions of dollars, even maybe approaching $1 billion of microchip inventory in the process of being made. But again, that pipeline is a 3-month pipeline. And if anything goes wrong, it's all ruined. So don't think that they're just churning out microchips in a day, you know, like they're stamping them out. No, it's nothing like that. Especially when you get to the 2-nanometer level of precision, 2 nanometers, 2 billionths of a meter. That's the size of the transistors. I mean, we're talking about any little tiny vibration. It's all ruined. Earthquake, you know, nuclear bomb detonation, whatever. It's gone. So it's going to take time to crank up these factories and to crank out the microchips. It's going to take time. And for years to come, as far as I can see, everybody's going to be buying as many chips as they can. And it's not a bubble. It's a race to acquire compute. It's a race. And anybody who thinks that AI isn't useful just absolutely doesn't know what they're talking about. I mean, think about this. On censored.news, which I have rebuilt using AI coding,
right now on censored.news, you can go there and you can see that it has it every half hour. It identifies the most important emerging news trends spanning, I think, 8 categories now: health and finance and tech and so on. And then it lets you analyze those news trends to see what's happening. And then there's a podcast that's generated between Reese and Nova, a man and a woman who talk about the news. That podcast is regenerated every 30 minutes. It's completely automated with AI. And now I've just added music. So at the end of every podcast, there's a feature music song that's generated that's entirely based on the lyrics. I mean, the lyrics are based on the news. So now, I mean, I almost did that as an experiment just to see if I could. But now you go there and you can listen to the podcast. You can get the news in about 6 to 8 minutes. And then you can hear a fun song that's all about those same headlines. And the song is awesome. And it's auto-generated. AI does all that. And I program the whole thing using AI coding. And the AI code uses a whole bunch of different other engines. It uses APIs to talk to many different engines, including Suno for the music generation. And it uses our own AI engine for the music lyrics generation or for the podcast dialogue generation. It generates the conversation between Reese and Nova. And then I use another engine to generate the actual audio. And then I use another engine to combine the podcast audio with the music audio, etc. Even the crawler that crawls the websites, we now have about 80 websites that are crawled on censored.news. That crawler is all written by AI coding. I haven't even looked at that code. And then even within our own company, we use AI constantly every day. We use AI every day for all kinds of things, from research and supply chain decisions and automating email templates for automated research, first drafts of articles that then get turned over to our human editors, etc. We use AI automation for everything we can imagine, and we're going to implement it even more. Like pretty soon on naturalnews.com, you'll have a podcast that tells you about the latest news there. And you can ask the AI engine on Natural News anything about recent stories on the site. So, yeah, AI is incredibly useful. And it keeps getting better. The tools I'm using right now have only existed in for the last 90 days. A year ago, this wasn't possible. A year from now, what I'm doing today will seem obsolete. So understand what this means. The world's changing dramatically. AI is going to absolutely replace millions of jobs all across America. And it's starting with the white-collar jobs, which is exactly what I predicted. I said first it's going to be agentic AI, and AI agents are going to replace the desk jobs. And then if you fast forward a few more years, you're going to see AI robots replacing labor jobs. That's coming too. So be ready for this. It's no joke. It's coming. It's not a bubble. It's just beginning. And if you don't yet know how to use AI to make your own work more efficient and smarter, you need to jump on that. Seriously, learn how to use AI. Find ways to use it in your job, your work, your research, you know, writing reports, whatever you need to do. And start augmenting your brain with AI, or you're going to be obsolete, period. It's happening. If you want to use our AI engine, by the way, you can find it at brighteon.ai, which will forward you to brightu.ai. So feel free to use that. It's the best in the world by far on all real world topics because it's trained on reality, not wokeism. So check that out and check out censored.news. And also you can find more of my podcasts at brighteon.com. Or you can follow me on our social media, brighteon.social. So join us there. Stay informed. Stay alert. You know, up your game. Get up to speed on all of this. And thank you for listening. Take care.
organic foods deliver more antioxidants. Our organic adaptogen ginger latte recipe delivers the remarkable health benefits of functional mushrooms, ginger, and more. Get your recipe kit today at the Health Ranger store.